Hey, Chevra, we're holding now already. We're holding now already about 10 days into Chodesh Tammuz. And still we're sitting here. There's still no Geula. There has not been the Geula from the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're still sitting in Chutz Laretz. Getting closer and closer to Shivas or B'Tammuz. Getting closer and closer to those difficult days of the summer. So I believe deeply now are the days, even more so, that we should put in more effort, more amelus, into our avodah, into our learning, into our davening, into our ultimate, in all of our avodas Hashem, to ensure that we're not going to have to commemorate the Churban, and that by next Shabbos, which is Shivas or B'Tammuz, we'll be celebrating, we'll be besimcha, we'll be dancing, we'll be mamish with Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mheira, b'ez Hashem Yisbarach. Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel Mebeis, tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whenever he brings a makkah on Bnei Yisrael, he brings a refuah before he brings the makkah. We see this by the story of Megillas Esther. We know at length how Esther Hamalka is taken as the queen, setting the stage to already help Klal Yisrael before even the terrible decree was done to destroy Klal Yisrael. So the refuah is always here before the makkah. And if that's true, the geula, the koyach ha-geula is already in the world. It's in the veldt. We just have to find it and tap into it. And b'stama, during these days that we're leading up to, which commemorate galus and commemorate churban, seemingly these are the days of the makkah, these are the days that the refuah is even stronger. But it takes a lot of amelus and it takes a lot of avodah. Let's try to learn tonight, let's try to understand tonight what it is to be nepach, miyagun l'simcha, be nepach to turn around from the Yimei HaDin, these days that are upcoming, these days of judgment, already in the month of Tammuz, and be nepach to days of rachim, to days of mercy. We mentioned last week in Shir, but I want to delve into it a little bit deeper, that the Arizal teaches us, and we've mentioned this many times throughout the years, that the Arizal teaches us that every single month has a special pasuk to it. And that special pasuk is a pasuk that has a tzeruf of Shem Havaya. For those who weren't here last week or haven't been here of the numerous times that we've discussed this and haven't seen this, what that means is, the easiest one to understand it, just as an example, is the month of Nisan. The month of Nisan is the pasuk Yismuchu Hashemayim V'Sogel Aretz, which are Rashi Tevos, Yud Hei Vav Kei, Yismuchu Hashemayim V'Sogel Aretz. That's the month of Nisan. That pasuk is connected to Nisan. Whatever that means, the Shefa of Nisan, the influences of Nisan, is connected from that pasuk. We're not going to get into it right now. It's not Nisan right now. That is in order, Yud Hei Vav Kei. Every month has those four letters in different orders, right? If you take, you have four letters, so and if you take every combination, it's going to be 12 different possibilities. Those who are a little bit in, understand math a little bit. So, Lemaisa, the month of Tammuz is the complete opposite of Nisan. The month of Tammuz is the pasuk from Megillas Esther, actually, by Haman HaRasha. We mentioned this last week, where Haman HaRasha, even though he has everything in the world, Chazal say he was the second richest person to ever live, even. Second to Korach. We'll get to that later.
Renner.
In his day. And he had the whole world bowing down to him. But one yid, one person won't bow down to him. The chol zeh neinu shoveli. None of it's worth it to him. If you take the pasuk, zeh neinu shoveli, and you take the last letters, the soifei tevos, zeh is hey, and nenu is vav, Shava is hey, Li is Yud. It's Yud Ke Vav Ke backwards. Zeh Einenu Shava Li is the pasuk for this month. Those of us who davened Nusuch Svard, when we davened in Nusuch Svard on Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, and we said Shmon Esrei, most of the Shzorim have it. You add this pasuk into the Shmon Esrei. Zeh Einenu Shava Li. If you don't have that, exactly. If you don't have that sitter, so then you need to get that sitter. So we have to understand what this means. What does it mean that Shem Havaya is flipped around completely? What does that mean for this month? And why specifically this pasuk? Why was this the pasuk chosen? Why is this the pasuk al pikabala that connects to this month? In fact, by the way, the Rabbeinu Bachaye brings down, the Rabbeinu Bachaye brings down in Vizosha Bracha, and he lists them all there. You could look inside, it's the Rabbeinu Bachaye in Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Mem Gimel, and he lists all. There are 18 in Chumash, in Torah, forget about Nach, 18 psukim with Roshe Tevos or Sofe Tevos, Yud Kei Vav Kei. 8 of them being in order, Yud Kei Vav Kei. 10 of them being backwards, like Zayin and Ashavali, which is Hey Vav Hey Yud. And he lists all 18. So you have 10, well, if you want to have Shem Havaya backwards, you have 10 possibilities in Torah. Yet we're picking Zayin and Ashavali. Why that pasuk specifically? What does that pasuk tell us about this month? And what does it mean that the Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, is backwards for this month? What does that mean? So all the Sefer Kabbalah speak about this, the Zohar speaks about it, of course, and the Rabbeinu Bachaye himself speaks about it, if you want to see in a more litvish way, and you're not open to the Sefer Kabbalah. You can look in the Rabbeinu Bachaye, as I mentioned, that when you have Shem Havaya in order, so you all know, what is Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei? It's the Shem of Rachamim, it's mercy. It's a merciful name of Hashem, the name of Chesed. A name where Hashem's giving us shefa and bracha and everything's good. When you have Shem Havaya backwards, it still obviously Rabbeinu Shalom, it represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it represents din. It represents judgment. It's the opposite of rachamim. It's backwards. It's din. It's when lo aleinu there's churban, there's destruction, there's einshim, there's punishments. To understand it, maybe as the Zohar explains, to understand it, and what I'm going to say now, I can't say I fully understand, but I think there's some Havana that we all could gain from what I'm about to say. The letters Yud and the letters Vav represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing Shefa, influence, Bracha into the world, influencing the world. In fact, Yud and Vav are all straight. It's being pulled down. It's pulling down Koichos from Shemayim. Yud and Vav are representing Hashem giving to this world, connecting to this world. The letter He, Al Pi Kabbalah, is a letter of Kabbalah, of acceptance. That's why the letter He represents a woman, right? To make something feminine, you have a He at the end. A woman is a Kibel, is someone who accepts. Hamevin Yavin, you understand that on some different ways, but now's not the time to go into that in depth. Bez Hashem is Baruch. When you're zoyche b'shatov m'slachas, the right time, at the right person, and your chassan will talk more in depth, so you understand that in a very deep way. But that's very important to understand. But that's a woman is a hey, so is a makabel. So when Shem Havaya is in order, the yud and the vav, which are giving, are each yud is followed by hey, vav is followed by hey, to show that all the shefa that Hashem's given to the world would be makabel by us. And that's when there's rachm, that's when there's mercy, that's when there's chesed, that's when we feel good about everything Hashem is doing to us. So when things are great, yeah, the chasen is tonight, Baruch Hashem, Shlomo Yaakov's sisters, chasen is tonight, it's shefa, it's bracha, it's simcha, it's shem avaya, in the proper way. It's the yud and the vav coming down, be makabel by the hay. When you have backwards, and you have the Kabbalah before the giving, which represents that there's no acceptance of what Hashem is giving to us. There's no connection between how Hashem is giving to this world and our acceptance of it. And that's din. That's judgment. Hey, Vav. So the Vav, the Hey is before the Vav. That's not the way. So there's no Kabbalah of whatever is being given. The Yud, and then again, Hey, Yud. And there's nothing following the Yud. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving, but there's no Kabbalah. So that represents din. By the way, just I was thinking about this idea. And I think there's something just on the side, something so beautiful in this. And that is to understand what makes, what's nepach, the Shem Havaya from Rachamim to Din, when it's backwards, is that the Kabbalah is before the giving, the Shefa. But realize, no matter what, even when there's Din, even when it's backwards, the Shefa is still being given. I mean, Kodesh Baruch Hu is always giving to this world. Kodesh Baruch Hu will call Ma Dov Rachman al-Tav of it. Kol ma David rachmanu l'tav avin. Everything Hashem does is good. He's constantly giving and giving and giving. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes the Kabbalah is not there in the proper way. But he's always giving. It's all good. The difference between rachman and din is just how we perceive it in a certain sense. Everything is good. Kol ma David rachmanu l'tav avin. It's amazing. Just understand. You see, the yud and the vav don't disappear. There's just no Kabbalah after them. And I was thinking, I was telling over this week, I was give some chinuch in camp. I was trying to build an appreciation in the younger kinder about the mitzvah of wearing tzitzis, and that they should be wearing tzitzis. So, Lemaisa, I told him over a story. I might have shared this at this table of a friend of mine, a very special person. I haven't been in touch with him in a while. Darren Dahl. Some of the Chevra remembers. No, Ben Yamin remembers Darren. Some of the Chevra remembers Darren. Darren, actually, I don't know if anyone was here when he came to speak. Reuben, you were here when he spoke. It was already, how many years ago? It must have been at least about 3 years ago, probably.
That's right,
yeah, right, everyone was very close to him.
Yeah.
So he came, he spoke here. I once had him speak on a Thursday night after Shir.
For Shir?
Yeah, he came. He once spoke, I have a record. He came for Shir. And after, then that was not in the summer when we have early shir like this. Some of the chevra complains this is late. This is early shir. In the winter, shir is an hour later. And he came to regular shir, which was whatever, let's say maybe we started drop early that night, let's say 11:30, 11:45, we finished 12:30. 12:30 he started speaking, spoke till about 1:45 in the morning. It was before the 5 minutes later, it's true. But it was incredible. Every story out of, every word out of his mom is the sweetest, and every story that he's just a walking malach, and Akash Baruch is by his side every second. So there's one story he told after, he's a Baal Tshuva, and after he was already from, so he was living in Eretz Yisrael, and he got dressed one morning, and he got dressed, and he got onto, he drove a little moped, one of those little motorcycles, and he's driving, and as he's sitting on the moped, he's thinking to himself, he was a fresh Baal Tshuva, and he's wearing tzitzis, and the tzitzis are dangling down, he's thinking, why do I really wear tzitzis? What is this all about? What are these loose strings? What is all? He was cheshbening the whole mitzvah. Should I really do it? Yeah, I know I'm supposed to, but again, it was very fresh to him, very new to him. As he's thinking about this, Mamish, as he's thinking about this, his tzitzis, one of his tzitzis, gets tangled into the tire of his moped. Mamish, and causes the moped to just stop short. He goes flying off to the side of the road. Baruch Hashem, he was fine, just a few scratches, he said. 5 to 10 seconds later, after he's on the side of the road, the car behind him, maybe the guy fell asleep, slammed into the car in front of him and had a major accident. If he would have been in between, but still he wouldn't be here today. So as he's thinking about the mitzvah and why he wears tzitzis, the Rabbanu Shalom has that his tzitzis saved his life. If he wasn't wearing tzitzis, gone. His tzitzis mamish saved his life. But the moment that he fell off the bike and he's on the side, in that moment it seems like what? It seems like din. Something bad happened. I don't know how the moped was, whatever. He was zoiche to see seconds later how it was really rachamim. He was zoiche to see seconds later the amazing bracha. But emes is everything. We're just not always zoiche to the next part. We're not always zoiche to the Kabbalah necessarily today. That's first of all. And that's why, by the way, the Rebbein Mechai says at the end of the piece, after he lists all 18 times that Shem Havaya is in the Torah, he says to remember that is what? Chai Hashem. Chai Hashem. Chai Hashem. I mean, but that's both the combination of Shem Havaya in order and not in order, backwards. The Rachman and the Din, all is one. It's all Chai Hashem. This is all Chai Hashem. Everything is Kodesh Baruch Hu. Oh. Let's understand deeper. Let's understand what it is to be Nepach, to turn around the Shem Havaya from din, from judgment to rachman to mercy. So you have to hear the most amazing Torah. The emes is the first time I saw this Torah. I was learning this new sefer I got from Rabbi Yamin Eisenberger from Borough Park. The Torah originally I saw it in Shvila Pinchas for Purim. Mamish, incredible, from Rabbi Shimshon Master Pali. He says as follows. Listen to the Hilgur of Shimshon. Listen to what he says. The Zohar says that the mata, the stick of Moshe Rabbeinu, had Shem Havaya on it, had Shem Hashem on it. Okay? That makes sense. The stick was a very holy stick, a very special stick. It had the name of God on it. So listen to this, listen to this. If you look in the Zohar in Parshas B'Shalach, it says it beferish. In Parshas Ve'era, in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Zayin, you'll find that Moshe Rabbeinu is being told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go to Paro and tell him that you're going to bring the Makkah of Dam, the plague of blood. And how did he bring the plague of Dam? You're going to tell Paro as follows. Ko Amar Hashem, Bezoz Teidaki Ani Hashem. So said God. This is how you know it's God doing all this. You're going to say to Paro, you see this stick that's in my hand? I'm going to what? I'm going to hit with the stick that's in my hand the water. And it'll be turned into blood. So the word in the pasuk, the words in the pasuk, asher biyadi, are completely superfluous. Why does he have to say to Paro? Why does the pasuk say that when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to hit the water and turn the water into blood, he's going to say that he has to take the stick, asher biyadi, it's in my hand. Va, of course it's in his hand. Where else is the stick? What does it mean? The stick that's in my hand, I'm going to... Why does that to say? Asher biyadi. Where else? It's a walking... These sticks were walking sticks. What does it mean he had a stick? The matzalikim was a walking... Imagine, Chever went on a hike at some point in our life. In Tannersville, you go hiking over there, Raf? You're hiking. So a lot of... My girl, we love to go hiking. I try to go... Every Chol HaMoed, one of the days is always hiking. It's so important to see. Man, with Niflois HaBoyrei. Man, it's beautiful, amazing. See, everyone, you know, the little kids, I would like to take find a good stick, a walking stick. That's what matzah, that's what the matzah was.
Matzah the other.
Matzah the other.
Football.
Oh, right. Funny. So here we go. Moshe Rabbeinu says, here, you see the stick that's in my hand? Of course, why do you have to say the stick? I'm going to hit the water with the stick that's in my hand. I'm going to hit the water with my stick. What do you mean, asher biyadi? Oh. In Parshas B'Shalach, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Hey. After what? After the Maisa that we had no water. A little similar to this week's parasha, even though we're talking Tammuz, we'll have a little bit of a connection now to this week's parasha, for those who want. But we have the 5-minute bar coming anyways afterwards, so don't worry. Lemaisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, when there was no water, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Avor Lifnei Am, V'kach itcha mezikne Yisrael U'matcha asher kisa bos ayar Kach biyodcha. He says, take the stick. He's going to go hit the rock, right? This is the first time. This is why, one of the reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu got a little confused and thought he was supposed to hit the rock in our parsha by the Chet Mei Meriva, because the first time he was told to hit the rock. He was told to hit the rock here. But he said, take that same... There's some reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is emphasizing, take this, the stick that you hit the water with. Why does he have to say that exactly? And kach biyodcha, take it in your hand. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe, take the stick in your hand? Where else? He's going to take it with his nose. What? Where else could he take the stick? Why does he have to emphasize again? Just like he says, take the stick. Hashem tells Moshe, tell the power, I'm going to take the stick that's in my hand, which is completely superfluous and unnecessary. Here again, Hashem says to Moshe, take the stick, first of all, that you hit that same stick that you hit the water with, some connection to that, and kach biyodcha, take it in your hand. Listen to this. Listen to the depth of Torah. Listen to the amkas of Torah. After this, we can stop all share and tants and realize that we're all mamin and Hashem. You know, this week, one night, you follow? Everyone got all the two questions? You got it here. This is mamin's deepest Torah. Unbelievable. Incredible. Forget about Tzeruf Shem Avayah. If you follow all that good, not good. This is Chumash. Just Pashup. This is Pashup Pashat Chumash, I think. To me, this is Pashup Pashat Chumash. You can't understand this any other way. The questions are too strong. few nights ago, I got a call from a very close Talmud, an older Talmud of mine. A really special young man, but he's struggling deeply in a lot of ways. If I start to tell you the things he told me, Mamish, I was crying and crying. But I love him, and I'm there for him. And he's so special, he's so real, he's so MS, but he's been journeying. He's been journeying. A lot of us journey in different ways. And he's struggling in Emunah. He's trying to... He wants to reconnect deeply. He wants to. And he knows it's MS. He's struggling. So here's a guy. Right now, for the last who knows how long, he's hardly been from. I don't know if he's mamish even... I don't know what he's kept, but very, very little. And I knew the answer to the question I was going to ask him, but I jumped right in. I didn't talk to him about tefillin. I didn't talk to him about davening. I didn't talk to him about it. I asked him... because he was bringing up one, the main topic of the conversation was Emunah. I asked him, do you learn? Now I knew the answer already. Here's a guy who used to learn a ton. He's a massive masmid. But are you learning these days at all? So he starts laughing. He's like, Rebbe, you know I haven't learned in months. I don't know, whatever length it was. So I say, the first practical step you have to do, forget about anything else, is to start learning a little Torah every single day. I said, because I want to tell you something. We could talk from today until tomorrow and all the philosophies and understanding of Emunah B'Hashem, which you all know. I'm like, which you know completely already. We could chazer it all, and all the proofs, and all the rayas, which are so pashut, and we could chazer El Chanan's Mamar and Emunah. We could go through, if you want to read Leib Kelman's Permission to Believe, and you know, and it's all MS, it's so posh, it's so MS. But I said to him, you know, I'll tell you something. Personally, I have ain't sveikos, I have no doubts, and all that I know is true. But why I have such a strong emunah daily, and I feel so connected to Rabbono Shalom, and the no doubts are even bigger than no doubts, is because of the Torah that I learn. And every time I learn Torah, I open up, and it's the deepest chachma in the world, and it's so clear that there's a Rabbono Shalom, so clear that there's Yiddishkeit, it's so clear because a person can't write this stuff. You can't have a person write a pasuk that can be understood in 2,000 ways, in the most unbelievable of ways, and the connections that we make, it's nisim, the Torah itself is nisim gluyim. You start learning Torah, really learn Torah, everything else will become clear. You'll come back to everything else. And he was Makabalot. He wants Bezer Hashem. So listen to this Torah again, right? Why does it say, by Moshe Rabbeinu hitting, when he's going to hit the water, to turn it into dam, it says, the stick that's Asher B'Yadi. And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, take that same stick and kach B'Yadcha, take it in your hand. So listen, we said based on the Zohar, Fairish in the Zohar, that this stick had what? Shem Hashem on it. This stick had Shem Hashem. Yud Kei Vav Kei. So imagine here, Chevra, you need a visual aid. I don't know how this is going to work on Yud Torah this week, but we'll see. Maybe we should just go off and make it a type of shir that you can't say on Yud Torah, and then it's all good. But anyways, Lameis is enough to go off of Hashem Yirachi, what I've been dealing with. Lameis, here we go. So you have imagine this is the matah, right? So you hold, where do you hold the matah? It's a walking stick on top. And it says going down the walking stick, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Beseder, in order. In the right order. And that's a matah full of rachamim, full of creation. That matah, Elokim, was one of the last creations of the world, as the Mishnah of those tells us, right? So it's Yud Kei Vav Kei is on the stick. What's the first, in the prior to the Vayera, Hashem wants him to take the stick and hit the water with it and turn it into blood. What's happening there? Din! What's happening there? Judgment! A punishment to the Mitzrim for everything they've done, right? How's punishment going to occur in the world, as we described based on the first part of this year? Not when Shem Havayah is in the proper Seder, Yud Kei Vav Kei, but when it's backwards. When it's Hey Vav Hey Yud. When it's backwards. So listen to the pasuk, Mamish. Hashem says that you have to tell Paro that you're going to take what? You're going to take the matah asher biyadi. You're going to take the part that is in my hand, meaning this part, I'm going to take it. Al hamayim. That's the part that I'm going to hit the water with. How do you... meaning, if here's your matah with Yud Kei Vav Kei Lagis. If he was hit the water just by holding it normally and just hit the water straight down, Yud Kei Vav Kei would be in order. That should be rachadim. No! He says, I'm going to take the part that's in my hand to hit the water. What does he have to do to take the part that's in his hand to hit the water? He has to flip it around and hit the water, holding the whole stick backwards, which does what to Shem Havayah? Flips the whole Shem Havayah around. And now Shem Havayah is backwards. So now we bring out Din. That's what the Pasuk's telling. Moshe Rabbeinu, flip the stick backwards, because if you're going to bring out Din, it's only when Shem Havayah is backwards. Now comes in Parshas B'Shalach. Parshas B'Shalach. Parshas B'Shalach. So now, remember, the stick was backwards when it hit the water. Parshas B'Shalach, according to Baruch Hu, tell Moshe, take this stick and bring water for Bnei Yisrael. To bring water forth from the rock for Bnei Yisrael. What's that going to be? Rachamim, right? It's going to be merciful. That's going to be helping them. So what does he say to Moshe Rabbeinu? He says, Kach, one second, Kach, Matcha, Kach Matcha, take your stick, Asher Hagisa, Hikisa Bo Asayar, take the part that you hit the water with. Meaning what? Take it back from the proper side, the part that you hit the water with. It was flipped backwards when you hit the water. Take that part, Kach Biyadcha, take that into your hand. Meaning put it rightful and right way. And then go and hit the rock, meaning just tap it downwards. Yud kevav kev besed there, you bring out rock. You hear, Chavah? You hear, Mamish? So we see from here, Mamish, in the Psukim, played out exactly this Yisoid. Played out exactly this Yisoid. Whenever you have yud kevav kev in the proper way, it's going to bring out rachamim. When you have yud kevav kev backwards like we do in this month, it's bringing out din, it's bringing out judgment, lo aleinu. We see this in the whole story of Purim. That's why. Why do you think Haman HaRasha says, Zayin Eino Shav Ali, and he has the Oisios backwards. He wants to bring din. What does Esther Amalka say? Esther Amalka says, Tachashverosh says what? Yavo HaMelech V'Haman Hayom. Yavo HaMelech V'Haman Hayom. Yud Kei Vav Kei. In the proper Seder. Esther Malka says, no, we need to bring about the rachamim, and we have to bring about the mercy. Yer chevra. Maybe you could say, based on this, and I don't know if this was the Shvila, I remember the Shvila, I don't know if the Shvila, Pinchas himself said this also, Shimshon says, that maybe is pshat in a pasuk that makes no sense in the Megillah. In Megillah's Esther. That we've spoken about once before, the deepest Torah of marriage. Maybe some of the chevra might remember this Torah. We probably said it over a Purim, but then probably nobody remembers it, so... It's kedai to say over Purim Torah is not on Purim, so people can remember them. But Lameisa, or we have Yair's recording from 2 years ago of 17 hours straight of Purim. But I don't know who's going to ever listen to that, Lameisa. So, and we record. We didn't record this year's Purim, right? No. No one did. I don't know, parts, but Yair. 2 years ago, the whole Purim's recorded somewhere. You still have that?
Yeah,
still
have
it. You gotta cut the shots. Okay, anyways, Lameisa. The Pasuk says when Esther Amalka is walking in to see Achashverosh for the first time without being allowed to come in, without Rishus, without being invited in, I should say. What the Pasuk said? Vayoshad HaMelech Sharbid Azov Asher Biyado. Very similar. Also an extra emphasis, superfluous, that he stuck out the scepter Asher Biyado that was in his hand. And then very strangely, Vayoshad HaMelech Esther came close. She touched the tip of the scepter. Why did she come close and touch the tip of the scepter? Such a strange pasuk. So we once had a very deep Torah marriage. Just not for now, it's also the time. We'll see, maybe at the end. It's a big Torah to understand what all of marriage is about, actually. We'll get to it because I have a story for that. Okay, well, we'll say that to her later. But Lameisa, what was going on here, perhaps? This stick also was symbolic of the stick of Moshe. What does Achashverosh do? Achashverosh's point was still in cahoots with Haman. So he sticks out the stick, but he sticks it out backwards. Because he wants to flip it around. He wants to flip around. He sticks out the part that was in his hand. He wants to flip it around, to flip around Shem Havayah, to bring that din. Vatikra of Esther. Esther goes close. Vatiga Barosh HaSharbit. She touches the tip of the scepter. She turns it back around. To say, no, we need Yud Kevavke in the proper order. She's Nepach the Racham into din. Oh. So now let's start to understand what this all means. So we understand that this month is a month of din, based on the Seraph of Shem Havayah in the backwards way. But why specifically this pasuk? We said there are 10 psukim and chumash you could have chosen with the yud kevav kev backwards to bring about din. Why specifically this pasuk? So perhaps we could suggest, and I saw Benjamin Eisenberger is mainly based on his Torah, that that's the pasuk, that's the key to the din of this time of the year, which is the din of all of history, of all of Charban, the din of all of our lives. And within the din of all of our lives, that's how we could nepach and find the rachamim. What does that pasuk represent? The Chol Zayin Eina Shavali? It represents Haman HaRasha's tremendous desire for kavod, Haman HaRasha's gaivatic nature, Haman HaRasha's wills and desires for always more and more materialism, more and more honor, the complete antithesis of Ezehu Asher Asamech B'chelko, the complete antithesis of being histapkus b'muat, being happy with that which you have, which is spitting in God's face in the deepest of ways. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Bar Yalma, He knows better than anybody else what is best for us. He knows what we need. He knows what we need to succeed in this world with our mission, our avod, our tafkid. And when you always want more, and you want what Yenim has, and you want, you never have this topic of b'mu'ah, what you're saying is, I don't trust in the Rabbanu Shalom. I don't trust in the Rabbanu Shalom. I don't have a muna b'Hashem. I don't have bitachon b'Hashem. As the Kli Yakar says by Losachmoid, not to be jealous, not to covet, he said, is because you don't have the proper emunah b'Hashem that you really believe everything that you have is for you and that's what's best for you. If you want to learn about this and instill this, I had this chus this past year to learn with my shir. A couple of the guys are here. The sefer, which some of the chevra in the room has learned, and it's very, very, very special. Olam Amidos, and in the sefer Olam Amidos, he has one parak Olam Asimcha. And in that parak of Olam Asimcha, he talks about this at length. What it is to be Samech Bechelko, what it is to be happy with that which you have, having Histapkus B'muat, being understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you everything you need and everything you should ever need. And everything you should ever want. And Haman HaRasha didn't have that. So what happens when you don't have that? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't have a karza tov for all that I do for you. He brings din. And therefore, that's this month. That's what this month represents. V'chol zayin eina shavali. It's judgment based on that backward Shem Havaya from Haman HaRasha. Therefore, what if we want to be nepach l'rachmim? We want to turn it back to Shem Havaya. We want to turn around the stick in the proper way. We want to bring forth the mayim of the rock and not chas v'shalom the dam of the sea. What do we have to do? What's our avodah then? What's the pasuk? Our avodah is histapkus b'muat. Our avodah is just be happy with everything Hashem gives us. Don't be running after taivas and gashmias. Be thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with what we have. And that's what it is. Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chaf Amadeus. So Gemara there says, right before the Mishnah on the bottom, it goes through where the Malachim are always upset about the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us, obviously. We find many Chazals like this. And they're upset as follows. They say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not supposed to ever show favoritism. You're not supposed to show favoritism. Yet what? The Pasuk says, you show favoritism to Bnei Yisrael. Yisa Hashem panav elecha. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? He says, Amar lehem, he says to them, Chilo es panam l'Yisrael. You don't want me to show them my face and show them some favoritism and show them how much I love them and care about them? Look what they do for me. K'safti lehem b'tor b'chalta v'savata v'rachta es Hashem l'kecha. I wrote that you have to give thanks and say berchas amazon when you're fully satiated after a meal. And where do they go? They even with a little kezayis, a little kebetza, they're benching, they're thanking me. Even much less. Meaning what's that mean? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know why I have to show them favoritism? Because they have histapkus b'muat. They're happy with even a little bit. I didn't even tell them they have to do that. That's our avodah. When we're happy with a little bit, we're not running after gashmias, running after luxuries, running after taivas. We're happy with whatever it is that we have and realize this is what they're a bunch of. This is my lot. That's when we're going to be yeast upon him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tammuz, the Sefer Yetzirah, tells us that every month has a different sense to it, a different. And Tamas is Re'iyah, is seeing. It's because why? The din of Tamas of Cholzeinu Shavali comes when I'm looking around at others. I'm looking around at other people. I'm looking what he has, what he has, what she has. I'm looking around. We can't look around. That's what Korach did. Korach was looking around. Korach was saying, oh, this Nasi, I want to be the head. The Meraglim already were looking around, as we quoted from the Zohar. And by the way, if you look in Mishnah Sharim, the hour is a little bit late, I don't want to quote so much more, but if you read the Mishnah Sharim at the end of Perek Yud Aleph, you'll find he talks about this by Korach, and he talks about the Meraglim. The Meraglim were, why? Because they were afraid they were looking around, they wouldn't be there to see him when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. All the Chatam of these Parshios, is everyone's looking around at others, and who they need to be. I need to be the man. I need to be the man. I need this luxury. I need this Gashmi. I need this Taiva. Not, I'm so happy with the Rabbanu Shalom, what he does for me. Histapkus b'muot. Stop looking around. And it's hard. In the summer months, more so, we're looking around. The winter represents a little more tzimtzum. The winter, we're inside, we're enclosed, it's dark, it's cold, dark nights, we're inside, we're not looking around as much. The summer is much brighter. The summer is much... We're looking around, and we're looking for pleasures much more. In the winter, we're not running after pleasures as much. Histapkus b'muat. In the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Flamites says that Rav Meir had 300 mashalim with a fox. And we only know 3 of them. Okay. Rav Haigon in his tshuvas brings down one of them. Rav Haigon says there was a lion that came and the lion wanted to eat the fox. So the fox said to the lion, look over there, there's a man over there sitting over there. The man has so much more buster, so much more meat, it'll be so much tastier and juicier. Why don't you go eat the man instead of me? I'm a little fox. So the lion looks at the man and said, now he didn't notice, the fox knew the whole time, he didn't notice there was a whole, the man was sleeping by a tree, but he set up a trap around him in case a wild animal come. Now the lion didn't see that, the sly fox did. But the lion looks at the man and says, you know what, I'm afraid that man, he's going to daven. He's going to daven. If I come and hurt him, he's going to start davening. And I know the koyach ha-tfila, I'm going to end up being punished for it. So the fox says, don't worry. You don't get punished, you. It'll be your children's children who got punished. If you know the raya is for such. So the lion listens. And the lion goes... And the lion starts walking towards the man and falls into the trap and is deep down in the ground. Imagine it's one of those pits that's covered by, you know, chvesnisht grass and whatever. He falls down deep. And he's down there, he's trapped, he can't get out. And the fox looks over laughing at the lion. And the lion looks up to the fox and says, you told me I won't get punished. It would be 2 generations later only. The fox looks at him and says, oh, it must be your grandfather did something. I'm so sorry. This is the mashal that Rav Haigon brings down for Rav Meir. What's the nakuda? What's it trying to teach us? Look at this lion. Why did the lion end up getting punished? It had the fox. It could have eaten the fox. It needed more. It needed more gashmis. It needed more time. It had more. He wasn't a stop because for Muat, he ends up in a place of din. He ends up in a place of din. That's each and every one of us. We want to be all the din is Zayin and Shavali. That's where the din came from. That's where we flipped it. We want to flip back to Rachman, slip the name back to Shem Avaya in the proper way. We have to mamish be full of what? Histapkus b'muat. I think as well, all this is learned from the Halakha Yontav of Purim. So I think as well, you could say, and I want to, just thinking about this, that maybe you could say all the Dalit mitzvahs of Purim are all to teach us the same lesson. Because if all the din of Purim was going to be, and the din of Tamuz is going to be, because it's lacking, because that's the pasuk of Histapkus b'muat, a lacking of that, let's understand the 4 mitzvahs. First of all, it happens to be Reb Tzadik brings down in Machshavas Charetz and Vav, you can look inside, that the Dalit mitzvahs of Purim, Mikra Megillah, Suda, Mishalchmanos, Matalav Yonim, are Keneged Shem Avaya, Yudkei Vavkei. So they're there to rebuild Yudkei Vavkei, Yavo HaMelech V'Haman Hayom, in the proper way, which is Rachamim. And how so? Mikra Megillah, the whole story of Mikra Megillah, that's the Yesod. That's the foundation. And that's being Nepach, midin l'rachamim. That's seeing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it. That's reminding us that's our avodah, to change the Zayin in Shavali into Yavo HaMelech V'Haman HaYom. To change it around. How do we do it? Mishalach Manos. Go help others. Be there for others. Care about others. It's not about me. Stapkes b'muat. Matanos l'vyonim. Give my money to others. Obviously, one and the same. Stapkes b'muat. And suda. Suda is a little bit harder. Suda, you say, what do you mean? Suda? Suda, I'm sitting, I'm eating. That's not, I don't know how that is. So let's remember, if you open, so I was thinking about it, and maybe this, okay, this is what I believe. If you open up the Mechaber, Shulchan Aruch, and you look in Siman Tav Reish Sadi Hey, and you look in the Siman of the Sudas Purim, what does the Mechaber tell you about Sudas Purim? All he tells you about Sudas Purim, he doesn't tell you about anything you have to eat at Sudas Purim. What does he tell you? Chayev in Shubsume B'Pur Yad Dol Yada. That's all he tells you. There's nothing else. He doesn't tell us about anything you're supposed to be eating. Why so? Maybe. What happens when you get drunk? What happens when you drink on Purim? You drink and you drink and drink, and from the drinking you forget about eating. You mamish, no one's... It's not about eating at all. If you don't eat before you start drinking, you don't even eat anything. You might not even eat. Once you're drinking a lot, there's a stopkes b'mu'at. I don't need the food. It's not about the food anymore. I don't need it. In fact, what even any eating that you did, it comes right out of you. You're gone. You throw it all up because it stopped because b'muat. You don't need it. That's it.
We need permanent July.
I didn't forget about the Nister meat.
Exactly. Stop because b'muat.
Bringing yours already.
So here we see that all the Dalet mitzvos, Mikra Megillah is seeing that we're nepach shem avaya midin l'rachemim, and the three mitzvos are there to be sholi stopkes b'muat. That's our avodah, and that's the avodah of Tamas Zeh Einenu Shavali. Flip around l'rachemim, and that's our avodah chevra. Think and be honest with yourself. How much of us are running after gashmias, running after taiva, are never satiated with what we have? We have to be so satiated, not look for more, just be happy. We have so much more than any generation before us, every single one of us. The poorest of poor would be the richest of rich 60 years ago. Mamish, we have to understand that we have to be besimcha and be ezu asher v'sameach b'chelko, and that's how we'll be napach all of the din of these days l'rachemim. Just to end with a story. I read this week in one of the Touched by a Story books. I think it was the fourth one. There was a man in the 1950s, Boaz Nathanson. And Boaz was an extremely successful businessman in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. Mamish, an aristocrat. Living it up, having every luxury in the world. And somehow, Mamish eventually lost everything. He had nothing. And he was so poor, he had to find a job to make money. He became a roofer. Imagine, he was the hierarchies of society, he became a roofer. Mamish ripped, tattered clothing, hardly enough to eat from day to day. But he was besimcha rabba. He was besimcha rabba. Simcha zechayim had nothing to do with his money or lack of money. When he had the money, he was giving it all away for tzedakah and chesed. And he doesn't have it, that's what the Rebbe Shlomo wants. Complete his tapkus b'muat. His wife, however, seemed not like that. His wife always walked, even after they were so poor, she still constantly kept on wearing her old clothing, her beautiful clothing that she had from the olden days, and would put on, she saved some beautiful jewelry, and whatever she could do to show, and walked around as if she's $1 million, mamish. Walked around as if they're still very wealthy. Lolino, it's a machla in this community that some people have, unfortunately, and throughout the world, where people put on a show on the outside because they're so embarrassed. That's what it seemed like. It seemed like she couldn't give in. One day, she was walking down the street, and Rebbetzin Chana Levine, Rav Aryeh Levine's wife, bumped into her and knew her well. And she looked down. She looked upset. This woman, who seemingly probably was, and everyone assumed she was for the reasons we'd all assume. So Rebbe Levine reached out to her, said, "What's going on? What's wrong?" She starts crying to her, Mamish crying to her, "And I want you to know it's not what you think." She says, "I'm not upset, I'm not sad about losing all the money, but I'm so, so, so hurt for my husband. It must be so hard for him, the embarrassment, the shame, who he was and who he became. And I want you to know, I know people talk about me and think I'm crazy because I dress like this, and think I'm crazy because I wear this jewelry and whatever I do. You know why I do it, Rebbetzin? You know why I do it? She says, I do it because I think it's going to make my husband feel good. I do it so I could show my husband I'm still living the same life and I'm still besimcha and it's all the same and it's all good. I do it to bring him back and to feel good about himself and what he built us up, and I feel that way. And he shouldn't look at me that I'm wearing tattered clothing and down and feel bad that his wife has to be like that. And even though I know people are talking about me behind my back, I do it for my husband. Batach balev bala. And Rebbe Levin went back to Rav Aryeh Levin and says, "Ah, oh, how I wish I could be like such a Rebbe. How I wish I could be like such a woman." Hestapkus b'muat. It's not about having anything. It's about recognizing all that Hashem does for us. And that's going to bring rachman. That's going to bring the mercy from the Eibishter every single moment. And by the way, specifically, b'shatov mislachas, most of the chevra in this room, most of the chevra is not married. When you're zoichah to be married, you need this midah even more than ever before. Hestapkus b'muat. Hestapkus with your relationship with your wife. That you're with your children, b'shatov mislachas. Zehu! Your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything else is secondary. That's when rachamim will come. Just give of yourself and be there for others and be happy with what you have, not looking to gain, but looking to give. And that's the other vart, and we'll end with the Torah, because I have to say it for those who... The other vart, v'yoshen ha-melech sh'abir azov asher b'yado, by the way. What was going on there? It's one of my favorite Torahs for Chassan and Kala, and for to give myself chizik. You never can have enough chizik when it comes to shalom bayis and what life is about. What pshat that pasuk? Yoshan Melch Shabira, we gave one pshat already, that he was Nepach, the Shem Avaya, that he sticks out the golden scepter. Why does it say Asher B'yado, that it was in his hand? And why is Esther coming close and touching the tip of the scepter? Vatikra of Esther, Vatiga B'rosh Shabit, listen to this chevra. I heard this years ago from Rav Moshe Meir Weiss, one of the biggest Talmidim of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He said as follows: Achashverosh is sitting in his throne, he's holding his scepter. And he sees his wife walk in trembling in fear. She could be killed on the spot. She didn't have permission. She wasn't invited. And he thinks to himself, my wife's trembling? My wife's in fear? This is my wife. This is my love. I owe my whole life to this woman. Everything that's mine is hers. It's not... This is my wife. So he takes that scepter, represents his kingdom, represents his greatness. He sticks out the part that was in his hand, as if to say, he didn't stick it out like he would to a normal person. He hands her the part that was in his hand. He sticks out the part as if to say, take my scepter. I don't need to stick this out to save your life like I would to a normal person. I want you to have this. Everything that's mine is yours. Take it. Esther Amalka, Vatik Rav Esther, Vatiga Barosha Shabit. She walks close and touches the tip. She doesn't take the part that was in hand. She flips it back around to say, no, everything is yours. The relationship between a husband and wife, saying everything in the world, all I do is just for you. No, all I do is for you. But the yisoid of all that is stapkus b'muat. Stapkus b'muat means I could give to everyone because it's not about what I gain. In our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, in our relationship with each other, and the Mirtz Hashem, and that's chus, will be zoicha to be nepach. All the din of tamas of Shem Avaya backwards will be nepach l'rachmim of Shem Avaya in the proper way. And we'll be zoicha, as we still have time, not to even have to commemorate Shem Avaya with tamas, but be zoicha to binyan beis hamigdash b'mehera b'yameinu.